Hello. So weak. He said test and you're all quiet. Hello. I know it's your favorite day in class, test day. That's always the one everyone looks forward to. So we are starting a new series tonight called Emotionally Healthy Relationships. I do not have a book to sell to you. They're on Amazon. You're welcome to buy it. But we're going to do the video, and I don't know, if you don't have to read, maybe you don't want to read it. It's all going to be in the video. So if you would like it, just let me know. I can order it for you. You can pay the church, and I can order it for you. There is a workbook that looks like this. I would highly recommend that you order the workbook. It is powerful. So a lot of what we're going through is going to be in there. And then the other supplement that we'll be using, there are several different teachers that will teach over the next 8 weeks, and it's this daily devotional, Emotionally Healthy Relationships, Day by Day. I'm only through day two because day one and two are just that powerful. So you're going to want that. Have you ever wondered, in the church, why is it we have the same problems year after year after year after year? We're dealing with the same problems in the church every year. How about holidays? Christmas and Thanksgiving are coming up, and I know that there's people that you all are very excited to see once a year, and those problems are the same problems year after year after year. Broken relationships, unresolved conflict, inability to speak the truth, and you know when they ask you and you say, oh, I'm good. I'm just fine. My life is great. I know that none of us do that, but we're going to talk about that a little bit. Let's pray before we get started. Father God, we just come to you tonight, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you would open our hearts, Lord God. I pray that the words I speak come directly from your heart, Lord Jesus. I pray that we would be vulnerable and honest with ourselves tonight, Lord God. I pray that we would expose our hearts and our emotions to you, Father, so that you can begin to work in and through us, Lord. Thank you for your time tonight, Lord. Thank you for meeting us here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So when you're pregnant, ladies, you know, you buy all those books, right? Like what to expect when you're expecting, and my baby's the size of a grapefruit, and now my baby's a basketball. But none of those books talk about your child is developing their emotional well-being, and when you yell, you're ruining them for life. They don't tell you that. And so we grow into adulthood chronologically. We get older year after year, but many of us are still emotionally functioning as children or as adolescents. When I read that, I thought, rude, you don't know me. I'm good. I'm an emotional adult. However, the further I looked into this, I realized that we have to be taught skills to foster emotionally healthy relationships. It's not that there's something wrong with me or something wrong with you. We just have to teach those, and then we have to practice them. So they're in there. We just have to kind of dig them up. We're not defective. We're just untaught. We're out of practice. So that's what we're going to begin over the next 8 weeks. So each week, most of us come to church and we hear sermons about how to love people better, how to love God better, but not a lot always changes in our lives. If we're being honest with ourselves, not a lot always changes. There's a statistic that says 85% of Christians are stuck stagnant in their spiritual lives. 85%. I would guess there's 70 people here, maybe? And so what would that be, 55-ish? 80%, 85%? Ish. Yeah, 56. That is alarming. If I had 56 of us stand up, that would be that statistic in real life. 85% of us are stuck, but we're fine. We're good. And so we don't quite realize that. Could someone please look up 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2?
When you have it, let me know.
We've been talking a lot about discipleship this year. Pastor Harris gave a vision at the beginning of the year about discipleship and discipling. And then we also are supposed to have our 10 that we're praying for. So 10 people that we're praying for their salvation. So we're going to read two scriptures tonight that have something in common. I want to see if you can figure that out. Sean.
1 Corinthians
13, 1 and 2.
Where love is the greatest. This is from the NLT version. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith, I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing.
Thank you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a clanging cymbal. Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Sue.
27 what?
22, 37 through 39.
And then 27 through?
37 through 39.
37 through 39. Okay, I got the whole thing wrong. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments."
Thank you. Both of those verses had something in common. One word, anyone? Love, that's right. Being a Christian requires intentional discipleship, intentional love. But if we're not emotionally healthy, that's hard to do sometimes. We have a tendency to spend a lot of money on schooling. We want to be competent. We want to be the best at what we do. But few of us have gained any skill or any level of skill in the amount of money that we're spending on our education to love others well. So you see, we're putting our focus in the wrong direction. If we put as much focus on loving well as we do as getting our master's degree, it would be an entirely different world. The book that we're starting tonight, it took about 21 years that they developed the Emotionally Healthy Relationship course. We'll take 8 weeks to learn about 8 skills that are foundational for building healthy churches and healthy relationships. So we have about a 20-minute exam. It goes faster, I promise, but we need to take that tonight to get a baseline. We need a baseline reading of where we are at, emotionally speaking. So I will have Pastor Harris hand out those assessments, and we have pens, and then I'm going to read each individual question. Yes, it will be video one here in a little bit. So once you get this, it looks long, it will go quickly. What I want to encourage you to do is, when I read aloud each question, I just want you to pause for just a moment and really, really try to be honest with yourself. Maybe not honestly what you want it to be, but honestly what it maybe is currently. At the end of these 8 weeks, we will take this assessment again, so I'll ask that you keep this, but I just want you to see the progress that is made through the next 8 weeks. There are questions on here that when I read, I was very embarrassed to mark what I thought that I needed to mark. But then when I was finished with it and I went through it, it was very clear, very, very clear to me, the areas that I'm lacking emotionally in my health and well-being emotionally, and the areas that are strong. And so I hope that you'll see the same pattern. Sherry. Yeah, I'm gonna wait till they hand it out and then I'll explain it. I'm just gonna grab my folder. I have mine in here. The print is really small. I apologize, which is also why I'm going to read it. Everybody have one? Does anyone need a pen? Yes, yeah. Thank you. So on your exam, you'll see that it says 1 through 4. And on 1 through 4, number 1 is not very true. Number 2 would be sometimes true. Number 3 would be mostly true. And number 4 would be very true. So 1 is not very true, sometimes true, mostly true, and 4 is very true. Are we ready? Part A, number 1. I feel confident of my adoption as God's son or daughter and rarely, if ever, question his acceptance of me. One is not very true, sometimes true, mostly true, and 4 is very true. Question 2. I love to worship God by myself as well as with others. Number 3. I spend regular quality time in the Word of God and in prayer. Number 4. I sense the unique ways God has gifted me individually and am actively using my spiritual gifts for his service. Number 5, I'm a vital participant in a community with other believers. Number 6, it is clear that my money, gifts, time, and abilities are completely at God's disposal and not my own. And number 7, I consistently integrate my faith in the marketplace and the world. When you're done with that section, go ahead and take a moment to total up your points and write it there on the total line. Remember, there's no wrong answer. It's just a starting baseline to go off of. Part B, emotional components of discipleship. We're going to watch a video here in a little bit that breaks down different principles. And so the reason I'm telling you this ahead of time is when you go back and review it, maybe later tonight or in your own personal time, it's divided into those principles, so you can kind of see where you're scoring higher and lower. Number 1 under Part B, it's easy for me to identify what I am feeling inside. That's my favorite one. Yay! Number 2, I am willing to explore previously unknown or acceptable parts of myself, allowing Christ to transform me more fully. Number 3, I enjoy being alone in quiet reflection with God and myself. Number 4, I can share freely about my emotions, sexuality, joy, and pain. Number 5, I am able to experience and deal with anger in a way that leads to growth in others and in myself. Number 6, I am honest with myself and a few significant others about the feelings, beliefs, doubts, pains, and hurts beneath the surface of my life. Go ahead and total those. Principle number 2, break the power of the past. Number 7, I resolve conflict in a clear, direct, and respectful way, not what I might have learned growing up in my family, such as painful put-downs, avoidance, escalating tensions, or going to a third party rather than to the person directly. Number 8, I am intentional at working through the impact of significant earthquake events that shaped my present, such as the death of a family member, an unexpected pregnancy, divorce, addiction, or major financial disaster. Number 9, I'm able to thank God for all my past life experiences, seeing how He has used them to uniquely shape me into who I am. Number 10, I can see how certain generational sins have been passed down to me through my family history, including character flaws, lies, secrets, ways of coping with pain, and unhealthy tendencies in relating to others. Number 11, I don't need approval from others to feel good about myself. Number 12, I take responsibility and ownership for my past life rather than blaming others. Go ahead and total. Principle 3, live in brokenness and vulnerability. Number 13, I often admit when I'm wrong, readily asking forgiveness from others. Number 14, I am able to speak freely about my weaknesses, failures, and mistakes. Number 15, others would easily describe me as approachable, gentle, open, and transparent. Number 16, those close to me would say that I am not easily offended or hurt. 17, I am consistently open to hearing and applying constructive criticism and feedback that others might have for me. 18, I am rarely judgmental or critical of others. 19, others would say that I am slow to speak, quick to listen, and good at seeing things from their perspective. Go ahead and total. We'll flip the page. Principle 4, receive the gift of limits. Number 20, I've never been accused of trying to do it all or of biting off more than I could chew. I am regularly able to say no to requests and opportunities rather than risk overextending myself. 22, I recognize the different situations where my unique, God-given personality can be either a help or a hindrance in responding appropriately. 23, it is easy for me to distinguish the difference between when to help carry someone else's burden and when to let it go so that they can carry their own burden. 24, I have a good sense of my emotional, relational, physical, and spiritual capacities, intentionally pulling back to rest and fill my gas tank again. 25, those close to me would say that I am good at balancing family, rest, work, and play in a biblical way. Go ahead and total. Principle 5, embrace grieving and loss. 26, I openly admit my losses and disappointments. 27, when I go through a disappointment or a loss, I reflect on how I'm feeling rather than pretend that nothing is wrong. 28, I take time to grieve my losses as David and Jesus did. 29, people who are in great pain and sorrow tend to seek me out because it's clear to them that I am in touch with the losses and sorrows in my own life. 30, I'm able to cry and experience depression or sadness, explore the reasons behind it, and allow God to work in me through it. Principle 6, 31. I am regularly able to enter into other people's world and feelings, connecting deeply with them and taking time to imagine what it feels like to live in their shoes. 32, people close to me would describe me as a responsive listener. 33, when I confront someone who has hurt or wronged me, I speak more in the first person, I and me, about how I am feeling rather than speak in blaming tones, you or they, about what was done. 34, I have little interest in judging other people or quickly giving opinions about them. 35, people would describe me as someone who makes loving well my number one aim. principle 7, slow down to lead with integrity. 36, I spend sufficient time alone with God to sustain my work for God. 37, I regularly take a 24-hour period each week for Sabbath keeping, to stop, to rest, to delight, and to contemplate God. 38, those closest to me would say that my marriage and children take priority over church ministry and others. 39, I am not afraid to ask difficult, uncomfortable questions to myself or to others when needed. 40, I do not divide my leadership into sacred and secular categories. I treat the executive and planning functions of leadership as meaningful as prayer and preparing sermons. I do not divide my leadership into sacred and secular categories. I treat the executive planning functions of leadership as meaningful as prayer. So meaning, oh, go ahead. You don't compartmentalize. Yep, I also think too, like, you don't treat your prayer time as, like, me planning for tonight is equally as important as me delivering tonight, is kind of how I read that. Go ahead and total that category. So then on the next page, we'll take just a minute. It says assessment totals, And so you'll pull those totals from each section of the assessment and put your numbers in those totals. After you pull those numbers over, on the bottom of your assessment, there's these green lines. That's a graph. So the numbers that are above it, what I did is I just put a line in each section, each corresponding section. I put a line about where my score was at. That way I could see a steady line of, well, mine isn't as steady as probably all of yours is, a steady line of where my emotional health is currently per this assessment. Now, when you look at it, it is overwhelming, I'm sure. You don't have to share with anyone. Mine, like I said, is just like a little roller coaster. It's a nice little ride. And I'm sure everyone around me feels the same way at times. It's a nice little ride to be on my emotions. And so this is your baseline. This is where we're starting tonight. We will begin to break this apart each week over the next 8 weeks. Each week we'll begin to break apart what each one of these means and how we can kind of teach our heart and learn from God's word where we're going with that. The book said something that I thought was great. I'm just going to read it so I don't mess it up here. Emotional health and spiritual maturity are inseparable. It is not possible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. I thought that was so powerful when I read that, and I'll read it one more time. It is not possible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. We're gonna start a video that's about 20 minutes long, and they're gonna talk about kind of the overarching goal of this, to move our hearts from brokenness to a greater wholeness in our relationships. The purpose of that is so we can draw nearer to the Father. So let's watch this and we'll come back.
Jerry and I became committed followers of Christ while we were college students. We grasped what it meant that Christ died for us personally and was alive today. We learned about spiritual disciplines, Bible study, worship, the importance of community and small groups, prayer, using our gifts. We immersed ourselves in the best of Christian training and discipleship for years. And we eventually started a church in Queens, New York City, called New Life Fellowship Church. But something was desperately wrong. We realized people were supposedly growing in love for God, but that wasn't translating into greater love for people. We couldn't figure out why people with apparent great passion for Christ and Scripture were still defensive and judgmental, critical and unapproachable, even unsafe to be around. And that included us. Even as a pastor, I was well-rooted in the disciplines of prayer and Bible study, and I had a personal relationship with God, but the people around me were not feeling any more loved. We began to admit that the quality of love inside the church was not really that different from that love outside the church. Pretense and superficiality marked both. We kept hitting a wall. We didn't know what to do with even our own anger towards people or circumstances. We were afraid of being honest in different relationships. We didn't know what to do with sadness and disappointments. In fact, we felt guilty for even having those feelings. We didn't know how to talk about difficult topics. So for example, we might be hurt by someone, but we didn't know how to talk about it with them. We might disagree with someone and not know how to say it. We avoided conflicts and wanted to be perceived as good, loving, nice Christians. The problem was we weren't honest to ourselves or to others. We said yes when we really wanted to say no. We made assumptions about people without checking them out. We could go on and on and on. This led us on a journey to figure out what was missing in our discipleship and our way of doing relationships. And that journey we call today emotionally healthy spirituality. We came to understand that emotional health and spiritual maturity are inseparable. It's not possible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. A person may be chronologically 20, 35, 55, or 75 years old, but remain an emotional infant or child in their relationships. Jesus taught us that there are two great commandments, and he summarizes the whole of Scripture with them. The first, he said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus recognized that loving others is the essence of true spirituality. And at the heart of a genuine spirituality is loving God, loving ourselves, and loving others well. This is Paul's point in 1 Corinthians 13, where he makes it very clear that love is the true measure of our maturity in Christ. He writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love or have a faith that can move mountains, I am nothing." Bible knowledge, gifts, fruitfulness, effectiveness do not speak to our maturity, says Paul. Rather, it's our ability to love other people well. And we can't love others well while remaining emotionally immature. And finally, when Paul climaxes his letter to the Galatians about the real fruit of the gospel and grasping it, he says this, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love."
The skills you will learn in this emotionally healthy relationships course unlock for us the application of Scripture into everyday life. Every Christian needs practical skills incorporated into their discipleship to grow out of emotional infancy into emotional adulthood. It is easy to grow physically into a chronological adult. It's quite another to grow into an emotional adult. We learn many skills to be competent at school and in our careers. Many of us spend thousands of dollars and years of our lives preparing for our life, work, or careers. But few of us learn the relationship skills necessary to grow into an emotionally and spiritually mature adult. We somehow think it will come naturally and without training. These emotionally healthy relationship skills do not come naturally. You aren't born with them. You need to learn them. Research has shown that people's ability to have face-to-face conversations with eye contact and to connect emotionally has decreased dramatically over the last 15 to 20 years. Technology like smartphones and social media has changed the world. This is affecting every area of life, from workplaces to family life to parenting to friendships to classrooms to dating and to church communities. All of this makes it more imperative to intentionally incorporate into our discipleship the kinds of skills you will learn in this course. So over the next 8 sessions, we will equip you in 8 different skills. They're not hard to understand, but they have to be personally experienced and practiced if they're going to take root in your life. It's similar to riding a bike. I can read to you from a book about how to ride a bike. I can show you a video on how to ride a bike. I can get on a bike and demonstrate, but you still will not know how to ride a bike. You have to get on the bike yourself to actually learn how to ride a bike. In the same way, you have to do the skills to learn them. Initially, you may feel uncomfortable as you practice them, but as you will see, they will become a more natural part of you as time goes on.
So when we come to faith in Jesus and become Christians, we are birthed into the new family of Jesus. At that point, the rest of our lives is about discipleship, following Jesus, learning how to love God and others. This course was developed over a 21-year period where we tried to break down practically how do we love others in the way that Jesus commanded. Over that time period, we developed 8 core skills. And they form the framework of this discipleship course. You'll notice them listed in your workbook. They are the community temperature reading, stop mind reading, clarify expectations, genogram your family, explore the iceberg, listen incarnationally, climb the ladder of integrity, and fight cleanly. Then we'll close our time with a final, very important session on developing a plan to implement the Emotionally Healthy Relationships course into your personal life, your family, your workplace, your friendships, and the church. Each of these skills is simple to understand, but hard to do. And that is why the Emotionally Healthy Relationships Day by Day devotional is such an integral part of the course. Not only do we need skills, we need a deep, ongoing relationship with Jesus. We need the Spirit of God to change us and help us become more loving like Jesus. The goal of this course is to move you from brokenness to greater wholeness in your life and relationships. Notice on the left side of the image on your screen the symptoms of brokenness. For example, defensiveness, low self-awareness, isolation, blaming. Our hope is that you will move and you will make progress in these 8 sessions from where you are on the left side towards the right side where it says wholeness and where the qualities in relationships are things such as approachability, high self-awareness, taking responsibility, delight, and courage. These will characterize your relationships. So let's begin now with the first skill called the community temperature reading, or CTR, as we call it for short.
It's called community temperature reading because it's meant for 2 or more people, and it's about improving the temperature in relationships. And there are 3 things I want you to remember. First, this is a building block to the rest of the skills that you will follow. Sometimes we say, this is the skill with training wheels, the beginner skill. It involves brief and light sharing, nothing heavy. Secondly, the purpose is for you to be able to discover and express your God-given voice, which many people are not accustomed to doing. And thirdly, it involves sharing around 5 important categories vital to building healthy relationships. So let's begin with the first category, appreciations. The problem with appreciations is that we may think them in our heads, or we only say them when someone has gone above and beyond the call of duty. In fact, some families and cultures never express appreciations to their children at all, fearing it will go to their heads and make them arrogant. And that is simply not true. That is a myth. Appreciations are important to the life of any community or relationship because they keep us from taking one another for granted. They have an amazing positive effect on people and relationships. The truth is, and social science confirms this, God wired our brains to give and receive appreciations. It's a form of giving thanks. Here are some examples. You might say to your friend, I appreciated you waiting for me last night when I was running late. Or to a roommate, I appreciate you putting the garbage out twice a week. Or to a coworker, I appreciated you arriving early and getting the coffee ready before our meeting. The second category is puzzles. Many times when someone doesn't do something that we were expecting, we are tempted to jump to conclusions and make judgments about it. For example, if you email or call someone and they don't get back to you, what's the story you tell yourself? They're mad at me, they're insensitive, or I'm not important to them. It's human nature to jump to negative interpretation of someone else's behavior. But the vast majority of times, we are wrong. There can be numerous reasons why someone doesn't return an email. They didn't get it. They forgot about it. They didn't know you expected a response. And that's just to name a few. I can't emphasize how much these negative interpretations hurt relationships and communities. Our negative conclusions and judgments impact how we relate to that person. You'll probably start avoiding the person and have resentment towards them if they didn't respond to your email. But instead of being upset and not saying anything at all, or angrily saying, why didn't you return my phone call? You can say, I'm puzzled as to why you didn't call me. I'm puzzled as to why you left dirty dishes in the sink last night. Or to a friend who's 20 minutes late for a lunch date. Instead of remaining silent and annoyed, you can say, I'm puzzled why you are 20 minutes late. Here's some that I've used. I'm puzzled why you were unusually quiet in small group last night. And I'm puzzled why I wasn't asked to be part of that outreach project. Since it's easy for us to jump to negative interpretations, and as Christians we can be very judgmental, puzzle is a loving word. And I am not kidding when I tell you it cut my sinning in half. I promise you, the word puzzle can change your life. The third category is complaints with possible solutions. All relationships are going to have complaints or things they don't like. This is normal and part of being human beings created with different likes and dislikes. There are two challenges with complaints, though. First, some of us grew up with an unwritten rule that said, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. So we're afraid to voice anything negative. Secondly, for others of us, it's easy to complain and not take any responsibility for a possible solution. We complain, but we don't say what we want instead, and that just comes across as criticism. The purpose of complaints with possible solutions is to help you be aware of and take responsibility for the small irritations and annoyances that arise every single day. When those irritations go unspoken, they can become a painful wound. When spoken poorly, they become destructive to relationships. So we're going to teach you a simple format to do it differently, using the phrases, I notice and I prefer. So for example, I notice you leave the lights on in our apartment when you leave, and I prefer you turn them off. Or I notice our meetings start late, and I prefer they start at the agreed upon time. Or I notice you leave your coffee cups in the car, and I prefer you take them with you when you leave the car. These complaints are meant to be light. In other words, you know that the person can easily and will easily make the adjustments. If it's not something easily resolved and needs negotiation, then that's another skill called fight cleanly. And you'll learn that in session 7.
The fourth category is new information. Relationships can only grow when people know what is happening in each other's lives, the trivial as well as the important. This can take many forms, new events, appointments, new decisions. It's a way of staying current with each other. So for example, my professor moved the exam, so I can go to the movies this week. Or I'm exploring a different job within my company. Or John is sick and he won't be able to make the meeting. And then the fifth and final category is hopes and wishes. God created each of us to have hopes and wishes, both big and small. They offer windows into our unique souls, revealing significant parts about who we are. Our relationships deepen when we share our hopes and when we listen to the dreams of others. The community temperature reading, or CTR, provides a space for this to happen. So for example, I hope we can get away for vacation this year. Or I hope to own a home someday. Or I hope to sleep in and get some extra rest this weekend. Or I hope to get a master's degree in nursing. Now we are going to show you an example of how to do this. And after we model it, stop the video and then follow the directions in your workbook. Hey honey, would you be willing to take a community temperature reading?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's do it.
I really appreciate, I loved that you found last night the restaurant that we ate at. It was fantastic. It was a great night and the food was amazing. And for me, it just set the whole tone for the evening. So the fact that you took the time and energy to find it, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you, honey. I appreciate every time you empty the dishwasher. When I'm upstairs and you're downstairs, I can hear the dishes coming out of it, going into the cabinet. My heart leaps. And so I just really wanted to let you know how much I appreciate when you empty the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Thank you. I am puzzled, however, that you have been talking about making an appointment with your primary care doctor for the last year and a half. But every time you talk about it, it never happens. And so I'm very puzzled why.
You know what? I'm puzzled too. But I think it's because parking is so hard there. And she has these really weird hours, So I think that's what, those have just been kind of mental blocks for me. Yeah, so. My puzzle is why you forward me emails that, they're EHS emails that I already receive. I'm on the same list you're on, but you still forward me these EHS emails, and I'm puzzled about that.
Yeah. Well, you don't get all the emails that are sent out for EHS. I kind of just assume you're not getting any of them. I don't even bother looking at the subject of other people, so that's why I probably need to look. All right, I notice, honey, that at night you like to read at night and stay up after we go to bed, and you turn a light on and you're reading for a while, and I would prefer if you would not read a physical book, but you would use a Kindle or your iPad to read so the light wouldn't be on, and then I can sleep.
Oh, okay. I can do that. I notice that you put all your change in the kitchen drawer into that basket there, and it's overflowing. And I would prefer that at least you take the quarters out and put those in the car so that we have quarters available for the meters.
Good. No problem. New information I've got for you is my two brothers and sisters are coming to our house for the summer to spend a few days, and they just told me, they confirmed the date in July, and they told me that they're staying an extra day.
Oh, okay. Well, that's doable. You know, my new information is I told you I really wanted to try and go cross-country skiing again, try and get one last weekend in, but I found out that everything is iced over. So they're closed this weekend. So I don't know. I'll look for an alternative thing for us to do.
That's great.
Yeah.
I have a hope and a wish that I can get back to Spanish. I would love to dive back in with a tutor, just immerse myself in the language again, and be able to teach and preach again in Spanish on a regular basis like I used to. I really hope that I can get the space to dive in once again.
Wow.
I miss the language. Love it.
Wow. My hope is that Eva lands an internship that'll just be great for her this summer, and that maybe it'll turn into a permanent job. So I'm hoping after all the work she's done in filling out these applications that she gets something for the summer.
That's great.
That's it.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. So I was hoping you all felt that also. So I have in my notes, I put 17-ish minutes in during the live community temperature reading. It seems awkward. And at moments, maybe it is a little bit awkward. However, the instant I thought that, there was an instant pierce in my heart that maybe I'm the awkward one. Maybe we're not doing it correctly. We're not used to navigating relationships in an emotionally healthy way. So much so that seemed completely foreign to me. So I don't know what that says about my emotional well-being, but I instantly felt that, and I thought, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me if I've done that to people. Forgive me if I've done that to my husband. And so I think it's important that we pull from this. So I have a handout. It's right behind you, Pastor Harris. I know that community temperature reading was really small and hard to see. So I made printouts for all of you so that you can take a look at it a little bit better. A couple of things about that CTR graph that they're handing out. It is meant to be used as a tool, not as a weapon. So as they're talking, there are a few moments that I thought, that might be a little bit condescending, a little bit underhanded. And I don't think that was the intent. Again, I think it's my interpretation of my unhealthy emotional handling of emotions. And so I do think that there is value to what they did there. But as you can clearly tell and feel, it's a little bit awkward for all of us to watch, because I really believe that we just may have a little bit to adjust on our end that would maybe make that not quite as awkward. So they suggest to use this with people, important, close people in your life. So pick a person or two, and they suggest to do this community temperature reading 2 or 3 months apart. So maybe every other month or every quarter. I'm going to test it out on my husband, because I know that if I mess it up, he'll forgive me. So maybe find someone that you're very close to that you can kind of share this with. So I also thought it super important to go back over what they said. Brief and light sharing. This is a community temperature reading. You're taking a temperature of that relationship. You're not making a diagnosis, and you're not solving a problem. It is just a temperature reading. Please use it as a tool, not a weapon. The other thing that they said in there, which I just thought was funny that they had to say it, but so true, do not interrupt. So when the person that you're doing this community temperature reading with, when you're going back and forth, don't interrupt them. Let them say how they're feeling. Let them say what they prefer. And even though you may want to interrupt, then, you know, vice versa, you can do the same thing. This is a reading just to see how that relationship is going. I just want to see what stood out. We have just a few minutes. What stood out to you guys? I'll start. The bike analogy was huge. I thought that was so cool that, you know, how many times do we teach our children, you sit on the bike like this, you pedal, make sure you balance, make sure you look straight ahead, don't fall off. When you do fall off, stand on your feet, those sorts of things. But until they do it, they don't really learn how to do it. In the devotional, this is probably a bad teacher, I'm sorry. I don't know the guy's name, but there was a monk in the devotional. And he used a bike example also, which I wanted to point out. So if you take a bike wheel, and you know the spokes are all those long parts that go to the center where the axle connects. I had to write that down. And they use the example that the spokes, they're all separate, but they come together and they meet at the center. Well, the center of that wheel, they talked about being God. So that is like the center. And the spokes are all the people. So the closer you get to God, the closer the spokes get to each other around the center, which I thought was so cool because they use the bike analogy. I'm like, I will never look at a bike the same again. So anyone have anything that stuck out? You can use mine.
It turned off.
Test. Hopefully it's not too late for my joke. So what is the card in this books? No? Okay. It's too late. Does anyone know? Yeah, and you hit me there too, so the Holy Ghost. When on there, I had so many jokes when they were talking, because I don't do that in my own life. I wasn't raised that way, and I don't do it in my own life, and I definitely have some things to learn. Anybody have something they want to say?
The whole, like, I think their example was, like, the emails being sent, and you didn't respond to my email, and that hurt, and blah. I think, like, that I could really resonate with, because sometimes when I, like, there's, like, that rejection, you know, or why don't they like me, why didn't they, so conclusions and assumptions, and then that becomes negative interpretations of someone's behavior, and then that leads to hurt relationships and communities. And I think a lot of times that happens because we forget to, like, we don't want to confront people or get the truth. We just kind of sit in our brains and we're like, oh, well, they don't like me. Okay.
I think sometimes it's easier to have that negative reaction. when you were talking, it made me think sometimes that negative response that is unspoken creates an expectation. That expectation is then unspoken. So we've taken one and then created another problem from a problem that didn't really exist in the first place.
I noticed with the assessment, I very much appreciate the how it backs each question with scripture reference. That is vital to understanding, more in depth per the gospel where we're at. Secondly, the first step to healing is admission, and I am an emotional child.
I'm with you. There are plenty of areas. That's what's so cool about this. We will retake the assessment.
That's awesome.
And it's just cool to see that. And I know when I watch the video, the whole thing, I shut it off and I'm like, this is going to change my life. All of these. It's only week one. I'm on the intro and I'm already like, I'm learning so much.
Amen. It was huge what it said. Can I have that quote again? This is massive. I mean, this is the whole thing. It's not possible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. We as Americans are awful at talking about our emotions, especially American men, right? Yeah. I remember preaching this on Father's Day, is that you'll see like a soccer game and all these coaches in his face and they're like looking at, I love you so much, we won the game, right? They're kissing on the cheek and all the guys in America. And so, all over the world it's different. So even in America we are crippled emotionally, right? And what you watch cripples you. Be careful. The TV is a liar, man. It's such a liar. Media is a liar. Get in your word. Jesus and David, man, two people close to the Lord. Both of them wept and both of them were warriors, right? Both of them were strong and both of them understood their weaknesses. And so, is there anybody else who'd like to say one more thing before we go? Another thing they want to share? Miss Sherry?
I'm a kind of fight or flight kind of girl. Like, I'll like get in your face too. If somebody needs to confront me, I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to fight with you. And I run the other way. So I'm just, and this is really good because sometimes I'm overly emotional and sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad because, well, Pastor Harris knows and Cherry. Some people that know me well know I'm very caring, but sometimes overly caring, and I need that healthy balance. And I never really learned that growing up. I never really had a balance. Just going to be real, because I'm just real, and that's how I am in my prayer life. I'm just like, all right, God, I'm going to be real right now. I'm angry, but I'm going to be real with you guys, you know. Sometimes, as I was growing up, some people think that I had it good, but I didn't have it so good. And so that explains why, but I should not use that as a crutch. But I want to grow from this, and I'm hoping that you guys will help me to grow from this with hurts and pain and childhood trauma and things that I've walked through, fires after fire, and how to be mature about it but not be an emotional wreck. And so when I'm just gonna preach, so when people look at me, I wonder what they think, like basket case or she really loves, you know. So anyway, I'm hoping to grow and learn, and I'm just hoping that you guys will help me to grow and to be mature in my emotions and not fight or flight, because I am a fighter.
That's honest. Thank you. Did you have something, or you want me to pray and close? Okay. That's a great segue of what I think God wants us to do. So we have to close right here so people can go get their kids, including myself. All right, everyone who agrees with Miss Sherry, if we want to grow together emotionally and you want God to heal you, I want you to do something. I want you to place your hand on your heart right now, and we're going to pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for this. Thank you for Miss Sherry leading us this evening. What a wonderful intro we have. God, we ask that right now we open up our hearts and say, it says in your word that lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Our hearts, Lord, are sick. Heal them. We invite you now to grow us emotionally healthy. Where we are now, God, I pray that the next time our numbers be a little bit higher, not because of ourselves or anything like that, but because you and the people of God around us have helped us draw closer to you and grow emotionally more healthy. Why do we want to do that, God? Because it's impossible to be emotionally unhealthy and spiritually healthy. And our desire is to be spiritually healthy, because when we are, we're closer to you. And that is our heart's desire, to be close to you. Will you heal us, God? Teach us, love us, forgive us. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.